Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome everybody to Spiritually Speaking with me and Mary Peeler. Actually, this series of shows called Spiritually Speaking with Mary Peeler is actually Mary's show. It just happens to be on my radio network. A while back, Mary called me and said that she felt it was time for her to do another radio show, and so here we are. And we decided that we would sort of take another shot at teaching and reading together. And so we thought we would pick different topics and kind of focus in on them as intricately as we could, just kind of give you information and insight and wisdom and sort of a better idea as to how you can utilize those spiritual aspects in life and apply them to your reality and make everything brighter and shinier. And certainly there isn't a brighter or shinier person in the whole world than Mary Peeler. For those of you that aren't familiar with her, and I can't imagine there are any out there, but I'll throw this out there anyhow, she can be found at psychicmediummary.com. I can be found at barbaradelong.com. Mary is a gifted and talented, amazing lady who has been in the field for a long time. She is sensitive and she is compassionate and she is intuitive. She is one of the most gifted mediums that I have ever worked with. She always manages to bring good common sense along with amazing spiritual wisdom into everything she says and does. And she has, I think, perhaps more integrity than anyone else I have ever worked with. I respect her and I treasure her and I value her as a friend, and I am in awe of her mediumship abilities. So tonight's going to be very interesting. Let me bring Mary on the air. Hi, Mary. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Barbara. Hi. It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much. And you always say such lovely things. I must really pay you well. You do. You know, the check is in the mail. But other than that, I am truly happy to be here and eager to have a nice conversation and maybe do a few readings with you and see what's up. But also wanted to thank Jeannie because can't do this work without Jeannie. And,
no, we can't.
It's so nice to see you here. I adore Deb. When I do something in here in Oklahoma City, Deb always shows up, and it's fun. But tonight should be so exciting because we're talking about past lives.
We are, and it's one of my favorite topics. And, you know, there's a lot of information out there on past lives. There's a lot of material out there on past lives for people and stories written about past lives. And everybody is always curious about, you know, well, was I the Queen of Sheba and yada, yada. But past lives are very important, actually, to this lifetime, and they have direct input and influence upon this lifetime. And, you know, often people, you know, think it's just fun to check out their past lives, but really there's so much more behind just a lifetime because they are not random little visits to this reality. They have great importance to us and the development of our spirit.
They do.
And you know, kind of, in your opinion, how does knowing what some of your past lives, how does that improve your ability to function within this reality?
Oh, for me, well, the very first time I was regressed, and I've told this story many times and on the air and on Blog Talk, but the first time I was regressed, I went back to a time when I lived in Holland and was actually a lady of the evening, and that's calling it very quietly what I was, but circumstances forced me to be in that position. But, you know, this was way back in like the 1600s, so I was able to see a lot of things, and I realized there was someone in my life, in that life, that I have in my life now. And so some of the reasons why we had challenges or have challenges in this life, and we don't anymore, came from the fact that I was their mother, and I sold this person into a job where she made her living the same as I did on my back. So it was just such an eye-opener for me. I was just blown away that I could see this and realized that, A, we do things because circumstances shape us. But we also do things in our lives because we chose to do it, because I'm certainly not in that profession in this life. So we have a lot of choice, and it made me feel like, wow, that's the other phone going off. So so I am going to hang on. Will you guys bear with me for a minute while I deliver this phone to my husband? And because I know it's coming in very, very loud, and I apologize. But I do feel that, hey, honey?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, yeah. You're in charge of that phone. It was Andy. So it is always a matter of choice. Choice. And then I was able, to choose. And things have been wonderful since then, for the most part. Because bad times were 400 years ago. Why stay in that time?
Well, yeah. And, you know, lots of times, too, past lives help to explain interpersonal relationships because we do reincarnate in a soul family. So it's a big family. It's like thousands of people. It's not like five or ten. It's thousands of people. But And over time, over evolution, sometimes, you know, we have issues in past lives that we don't resolve, so we bring them into the next life. I had a lady come to me at a fair, and she was in tears because she couldn't understand why her relationship with her daughter was so bad. And she just, you know, she said, "I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to do. I've been in therapy. She's been in therapy. We can't figure it out." And I said, "Well, I don't understand it. It's very simple. She was your mother in a past life, and she still thinks she is. And she's trying to tell you what to do with your life, and you're not cooperating because you don't remember it, and she doesn't remember it either. It's just that she feels she needs to boss you around and tell you how to live your life." And she went home, picked up the phone, called her daughter. They had a really good laugh over it, and they get along much better now, and every now and then something will happen, and she'll have to say to her daughter, "You're not my mother now. This time I'm the mother." And it dissipates the anger and the frustration, and the relationship is much, much better. And that happens to us often, that we carry issues forward into another time frame, and often we're indifferent. We're not male, or we're not, you know, we're either, we've switched sexes, and there is a different kind of relationship that enables us to solve a bubble or a knot that we have in that linking and that connecting over time, so that we can smooth things out, and that we can make things more peaceful, and more, we can become more content within our realities, and not everything has a past life, you know, connection, but many things do.
Yeah, I agree 100%, because when you look at it, or if, like, I've helped a lot of people regress, and when they see that they can carry these incidences with them, or these feelings of neglect, or something that they have done.
Mm-hmm. Still there, Mary? Well, Mary seems to be here, but she's dropped from somewhere because I can't hear her anymore. But past lives are really, really important, and it's something that you know, it's not crucial that you be regressed or have somebody tell you about a past life, but it can help in many situations, especially if there is interpersonal connections that aren't working. Sometimes when you find that you can't resolve things through normal channels, or someone is reacting in a totally weird way and you don't understand it, sometimes, not always, but sometimes it has to do with the fact that there was a past life issue that hadn't been worked out, that hadn't been resolved. Phobias often have something to do with past lives as well, because a phobia means basically that you had a crisis or an issue that you hadn't been able to resolve. Let's see if this is Mary. Hi, Mary. Are you there again?
Yes, yes, yes. This is me. I have no idea what happened because I was talking away. So, well, anyway, I'm glad to be back.
Did you have a good trip?
Well, Barbara, do you ever wonder if you and I have had past lives?
I think people that we become really close friends with are often past life connections. Jeannie and I swear, have had past lives together, because I think we're more like sisters than anything else. So I do think that, you know, she and I have been partners in crime in one way or another. I mean, we could have, you know, we could have robbed banks or something in the past, but she likes to quietly run interference for me, and she does an excellent job of it. And for those of you that are sitting in the queue waiting for a past life reading, Ginny's computer decided that it would reboot just as we went on the air. So she will be back shortly, and she will be doing the screening for when Mary and I, you know, get done talking, and we're going to start doing past life readings for some of you. But yeah, I do believe that. And sometimes sometimes, you know, it's sibling, you come back as a sibling, or sometimes you come back as a mother and a father, or, you know, we have had in our past lives, we have been in every role imaginable. And I tell people, you know, you've been priests and you've been prostitutes. We don't have any way of understanding something unless we've experienced it. So, and sometimes, you know, they're very awful things in past lives. We have not always been the sweet spiritual entities that we are right now. Now, our spirits have always been there, but our personalities have not been as spiritually functioned, you know, focused as they are this lifetime. I would imagine that if you take any of us back 2,000 or so years, that somewhere in there we were warriors and we did battle and we plundered and we raped and we pillaged and stuff like that. But, you know, hopefully this lifetime it isn't the case. But, you know, the times change and you do whatever you need to do to survive in a lifetime. And sometimes it isn't one of the most pleasant things in the world. So,
no,
you know,
it isn't. And, you know, there is a Buddhist prayer that you admit that you have robbed, you have cheated, you have been cruel to someone, you have killed, you have taken someone's name in vain, God's name in vain. You've done all of these things. And the first time I said that prayer and recited it, it just broke my heart, because how could I have done those things? And then I thought to myself, well, I'm a human being. I may be spirit, but I'm definitely a human being, spirit having a human experience. And I stopped my tears and I thought, well, man, this is quite interesting, but I don't want to do that stuff again. You know? Oh, my goodness, no. I want to see to be very profound here, the glory of God, the glory of the universe. I want to enjoy it. I don't want to worry about all the negative stuff. But
I
know we're only passing through anyway, it helps me release the tension. It helps me release everything that may be blogging, holding me down. I think it's fascinating. And when I work with clients too, I try to stress that we all have had many, many, many lives. So go after, in this life, what makes you happy? What brings you closer to the creator or the creative process?
You know, you bring up another point, too, that it's not just, you know, the interpersonal relationships that sometimes past lives supply us with, but also sometimes we have perfected a talent or a skill, and it has been an amazing spirit, and it's spiritual, I do believe, stuff that we bring forward into another lifetime to further evolve into. And I'm thinking basically about more than anything else, the creative gifts and talents that musicians and painters and stuff like that often come into a lifetime with. And when you think of Mozart, who was playing and composing at, you know, 5 years old and stuff like that, had to be from a past lifetime. I've seen a couple of children with magnificent voices, operetta voices, at 8, 9 years old. I mean, if sometimes a talent, a skill is so awesome, for want of a better word, that it comes with the spirit into another lifetime in order to be used to facilitate a greater expansion of that one particular gift, or even to use that talent and gift to awaken in others things that may have been latent within them, that it awakens that process in others as well. You just when you it isn't the idiot savings, the you know, those people who have brain damage and yet they're brilliant and what, like the Rain Man.
Yeah.
Not so much that, but there are individuals out there that just, you know, they're magical in a talent or a gift that they have, and it's usually of a creative nature.
Always of a creative nature. But I would think that even we think of creativity as simply being artistic or musical. But you have to remember also there is a creative side to someone who's a general, because they have to see a battle. They have to form it in their heads. They have to put it all together. A doctor has to be creative enough to see what he knows, and as far as I'm concerned, he has to visualize a successful outcome. He has to create the perfect atmosphere, he or she, that gets him to a place of success and where he does the very best that he can possibly do.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, it's funny because I was talking to my sister just the other night, and she said to me, you have the gift of gab. You are able to paint with words. And, you know, she went into the whole thing, and it's not like my sister to do that. And I thought, you know, I bet I was an orator of some sort or something like that in a past life, because, you know, you put me in front of a group of people and I'll rattle on for hours. And
yeah, you can. It's amazing. So it's brilliant. It's better than amazing. It's brilliant.
No, so. But it's, you know, I do think that is, I came in with the gift of gab. I think we all come in with gifts on one level or another, and many search an entire lifetime to find where those gifts are. And sometimes they don't manifest, and sometimes they do. It's just depends on what you've signed up for, actually.
Well, that's interesting, too, what we signed up for. Which direction did we come into? Because when I was living in the 1600s, I certainly signed up for something completely different from where I am now. So, I could not have even fathomed any of this, because the human nature and the requirements it took to live and breathe and eat back then was certainly different from where I am now.
Absolutely.
Abject poverty was one of the things I signed up for.
Well, you didn't sign up for poverty. You signed up to be given circumstances that would allow you to grow in certain ways and directions. And, you know, it's not like you said, oh, let me starve this lifetime. That looks like fun. You basically were asking for a part of the spirit to be further evolved. So that's what the universe gave you. And, you know, that's the part that is so amazing, because, you know, when you're on the other side and you've been there for quite a while, you have a more cosmic outlook on everything. And when you decide that it's time to come back down here, you basically do sort of have a checklist of sorts, and you say, I want to work on this aspect, this aspect, this aspect, and this aspect. And so then you are birthed into a body, and you have that lifetime to evolve, and opportunities are presented to you in your life circumstantially so that you can grow into and evolve into, you know, those talents and skills that you requested to be stretched.
Yeah, but there is, I agree. Only I do think that sometimes we are given by a higher consciousness than us something that we need to work on also.
I think that.
Yeah. Do you agree or disagree?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know how when you buy a car, then, you know, there are extras you can put on, and there are packages that come, you know, they're included in the package, so to speak. And I think one of the things that is included in every soul's package is checked off automatically is work on patience.
I would agree with that.
I don't think there's not a one of us in this whole world, except maybe the Dalai Lama, that is patient enough. That's a quality that all of us could do work with. I know that every now and then, you know, I bite the carpet and kick the door. No, I don't kick the door anymore. I broke my toe doing that. But I will bite the carpet.
Anyone out there has broken their toe kicking a door, could you just please write it there so I can see you? I have never known anybody who kicked a door. But Barbara, thank you. Now I do. I know you.
my pleasure, Mary. Actually, I thought it was
okay,
open.
Okay, so I must have chosen to be easily entertained.
In a heartbeat.
Oh, yes. And that's
but
a lesson in patience, too, because we really do need to look at all aspects of it.
Well, you know, and I think actually having a sense of humor is something that is so important in this lifetime and in every lifetime, because we are constantly faced with challenges and we're constantly faced with you know, issues in our lives so that we can grow and evolve. And I think personally, it's just my personal opinion. I won't speak for Mary here. But I do believe that the capacity to find humor in everything and be able to laugh it off is one of the greatest healing tools ever. And if you discover that within yourself, you've got it made.
Yeah. Yes. You know, because when I'm down, it does not take forever, and I hate being depressed, so I always look for the other side of it, and then I tell myself, you just got to be patient. Now, use that patient, slow thought to ask yourself what needs to be done, and most of the time, I will get my answer if I stop being upset and just let the patience, the gift of patience, do its job and direct me and my confused, chaotic mind in a direction where I can solve the problem.
Mm-hmm. And you know, life is meant to be a celebration. It's called enlightenment. It means lighten up. And so many of us take everything so seriously most of the time, if we could step back and see the humor in situations or see how something is returning to us over and over and over again, and it's kind of like, really, you want to do this again?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's sort of like,
okay, you know, you're reminding me that I've learned this? Great, let's move on. And, you know, it's an exciting time. I am finding the older I get, the more exciting life becomes. And the more fun it is. And, you know, you kind of, you see people who are so serious about life and doing the right thing and being morally appropriate and all of that crap. And I'm not saying don't be moral, because you have to have a set of morals as well. But it just feels to me as though society as we know it today is so crazy. If you don't have a sense of humor, you're just up a creek without a paddle. I'm sorry. You have to be able to be lighthearted. And I'm not talking about wars and everything. I'm talking about stupid things like politics and, you know, the other things that are going on around us. Laughter is probably the only way to deal with a lot of the stuff that's going on. There are definitely serious things in life, but you have to see the lighter side of it, too.
You do. And the other of it, when we do see the other side of it, and this is really one of my biggest rewards, is that I feel that I am erasing tension, erasing problematic circumstances, and all of a sudden I feel lighter, as if I am maybe just a fraction of an inch higher to being one with the universe. I mean that sincerely. I truly feel like it's a soul support.
Yeah. And you know, when we do take the time to you know, though we are going to be giving some past lives in just a little bit.
Yes.
When you do think about your past lives, and for those of you that have never dealt with past lives, you can find your past lives through meditation. There are lots of different, you know, manners that you can tap into your past lives, but in a meditation is usually the best way to do it. And I think Mary, you have meditations on your website, don't you?
No, I really don't. I'm sorry, I don't. No, I don't. Okay.
Because you know, it seems to me that a lot of people, when they try to meditate with a specific purpose in mind, are very insecure about whether they're making something up or whether it's really a past life. And sometimes if you have a meditation that leads you into a past life or leads you into finding a past life, you know, it might give you greater security that there is validity in what you're doing. That might be something that you might want to search for. Usually when I've done led meditations to have people check into some of their past lives, what I usually do is take them into a meditation and into a hallway. And as they move down the hallway, they will see a door that is slightly ajar, and they open that door to view the lifetime that is there. And then I bring them out of that lifetime and then go further down the hall. And we get four or five different lifetimes. And then we talk about what was there a commonality attached to all of them? Because usually there's an issue you're working on in your life, and those past lifetimes will give you insight into perhaps a better way to deal with what issue is going on in your life at this moment in time.
Oh, very marvelous. That's an excellent way of doing it. I love doing similar things like that. And it's just important, and I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, and you know, it's really... Yeah, we will give everybody that, you know, that gets pulled on in a little while, we'll get a lifetime from Mary and they get a lifetime from me. But it's really, the more you stretch into looking at where you came from, it gives you a better idea as to what you have to use and where you're going to, because lifetimes are not scattered and random. They definitely are leading us in a direction, and while you may not understand the purpose of the direction entirely, there will be aspects of it that you'll be able to apply to your lifetime and that will give you a greater sense of security into, you know, you're going in the right direction. Past lifetimes, they aren't just for fun and games. They have meaning to them, and they do open things up to you so that you have a better way of understanding the purpose of the lifetime. Not that we ever have the total purpose, but it gives us greater insight. And any place you can crack that door and get a little bit of greater help in how to deal with what's happening in your everyday life, I mean, it's a more exciting time for sure.
It is. And then you just don't feel like you're wasting your efforts. You know, you're moving forward.
Well, and that's another thing. I think that so many people don't realize they're actually moving forward when they are.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, you know, everything falling into place and magically happening is how I would say, you know, okay, life's moving along, I must be doing something right. But the reality is, a lot of times when you're standing still, it's giving you the opportunity to look more deeply into everything that's going on around you. So just because you feel like you're stuck doesn't mean you actually are.
That's true. I love that analogy. That is marvelous, because we really are. We just believe nothing's happening when the truth is that a lot is happening.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And you know, it's really it's so exciting to me to actually, you know, and I found another on my website. I'm doing another section, and it's called 101 questions, and I have more like 200 questions, but I'm putting the questions with the answers up. And there was a question that dealt with a past life, and I found a statement that absolutely I thought was beautiful, and it says, the statement is, make peace with your past so it won't mess up your present.
Yeah. Excellent, excellent. Now, I bet there's a lot of us out there who have had to do that. I mean, you just have to. You cannot continue on a journey where you do not look at your past. You've got to be aware of where you are.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And you know, the past is really important. The past holds the key to your future. It isn't, mm-hmm. you know, your past and your past lives are not over and done with and you know, and no more. Your past lifetimes and your past even in this lifetime, there are loose ends that need to be tied up. And when they're tied up, then everything kind of blends in and you have a firmer foundation to work from. And if you leave things unfinished, you often can trip over them and have to repeat them. So, you know, I tell people, please don't slam doors on the past. Make sure that, you know, let the past slowly drift away. Because oftentimes when we slam a door, we do it before everything has been tied up, and then we have to open that door again. And I got to tell you, it's so embarrassing if you have slammed a door, if you, you know, said, you know, I don't want to see you or talk to you anymore, get out, you're dead to me, the whole thing. Then at a later date, you may have to open that door up again, and it's so much easier if you've just been kind and just let things drift away.
Yeah.
Then you can call somebody up and say, I know we haven't spoken for 10 years, but there is something that's still on my mind.
Do you feel that it is necessary for healing also when this occurs?
I do. I don't think that it's now, I mean, I've had people that were awful to me, that I, you know, I really don't want to have any more connection with. And yet when there was a parting of the ways, so to speak, there was no anger, there was no, you know, I may have felt anger, but there were no angry words between us, that basically I just let the person drift away, and I you know, the door is always open. If they want to talk to me, I'll talk to them. But there's no way that there will be, you know, a friendship or something like that, because I frankly don't trust them anymore. But
yeah.
You know, I'm not going to seek them out. And with great retrospect, even though they may have lied and cheated and stolen from me, I learned some very powerful stuff from it. Not going to write them a thank you note, but I did learn a lot. And so you let them drift. And sometimes, you know, friendships do go through stages where you grow apart and then you grow back together again. I have a friend in Asheville, North Carolina that I talk to maybe 3 or 4 times a year. And every time I talk to her, it's like we talked just yesterday.
Right.
I mean, it's a great friendship, but it's not one that requires a daily call. So
yeah.
You know, if you give people the freedom to drift in and out, then there's not any of the, well, I called you and you didn't call me back stuff.
Yes. So, yeah, I would agree. And if anyone is going through that, get over that quickly. So
yeah.
It only hampers our own growth.
That's true. That's true. And you know, the coolest thing I think is that you know, if you can handle all relationships with at least compassion and patience, even if you're going to walk away from them, that's you'll find that you won't have to repeat it. And
yeah,
sometimes,
and even yourself, you have to handle yourself with patience and kindness also, and know that we're not perfect either, so we're all doing our best. And if you deliberately go out of your way to do your best, it doesn't mean allowing someone to kill you, or if a vampire comes into your campfire one night, you don't have to volunteer your blood. But at the same time, you have to deal with it just in the very best situation you can and do whatever is necessary. And then look back on it like, okay, I'm not a fool here, but at the same time, I am doing where I am led and doing the very best I can.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we've got some people that have called in for past lives here. And what we're going to do, there's still room in the queue. So if people are interested to call in for past lives, Mary and I are each going to give a past life to the callers that have called in. And it's what we're going to do is I'll pull you on and we'll get your name. And Mary will give you a past life and relate it in however she wants to, and I will give you a past life. And then if you have any questions about anything we have said, we'll be happy to answer the question, so long as it doesn't take a whole long time. Then we'll move on. So first one up for Mary is Jeannie. Hello, Jeannie.
Oh. Hello, how are you?
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Miss Mary.
You? Yes, Jeannie.
It's nice to talk to you.
I know, we don't get to talk very often, and this is wonderful because I was standing there and I had to get up because my energy is just flowing, and it's like, my God, I got to move. Well, it's Jeannie coming up. So, Jeannie, this is so cool because I know you have the horses, but I'm picking up immediately that you are someone who needs to move and walk, and I feel like you have had many lives where you were like a scout or an explorer. You have to see what's around the next corner.
Okay. Sally
okay,
Port.
And it is very important. I mean, I know you have a beautiful place now and everything, but the lives I'm seeing, you're driven by the need to find out what is best for you and what is best for others. So
okay.
I keep seeing this like in early the Pacific Islands. So I would see you as an adventurer and an explorer and getting in a canoe and making the canoe and making do. So I don't know what you do in life that makes you want to do things or see what's around the corner, but you're very active.
I am.
Okay.
Barbara's laughing. I can hear her.
Wow.
Yes,
I mean,
I
this is life after lifetime. And I know as we all have physical problems that slow us down, but I'm really seeing like Samoa and for the Polynesian islands.
Well, I could stand a vacation there right about now.
Okay, but you'll go and tell people how to do things, and I love that.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Okay, so that's cool. I like that. You've had a lot of great lives. So I enjoy that very, very much. So
well, wonderful.
Keep doing it, Jeannie. Those horses need you.
Oh, I won't sit still long, I can assure you that.
That's it, because so many lives where you just have to get up and go.
No, I don't like to be still at all. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jeannie.
Okay, my turn.
Thank you. Your turn.
Yeah, I don't normally give Jeannie past lives. And this is so cool because it's funny.
I'm sure. If you can find a funny one.
I have found two funny ones, actually. I want to take you back to, and Mary, I'm going to mute you.
Okay.
I think. Am I still echoing, Jean?
No.
No. Okay, it was Mary that was echoing then. I want to take you back to... No, it's not. It's you. I'm going to let Mary. I'm going to mute your phone, Jean, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Okay, that's good.
Sure.
Jeannie was echoing. Okay, Jeannie,
I
have you. I have Jeannie in two particular lifetimes, and I think this is so cool because it does. I see her back it's in Great Britain. It's probably back about 600 or 700, maybe 800 years. She ran an insane asylum. And she was the caretaker for, you know, when people whacked out, they were kind of dumped on her doorstep, and she took people in that were crazy, and she cared for them, and she was very compassionate and very caring. Now these weren't medically sick people; these were crazy people. I keep hearing just crazy. She took the crazies in and she took care of them. And this was her calling in life. And she, it isn't that she loved working with crazy people exactly. It's just that she had a way about her that calmed people, that kept them in a more peaceful type of environment. So that those that were violent and stuff like that just weren't violent. And if I take her back even further, I want to take her back in India, and I want to go back a good 1,000-1,500 years. And again, she was the person, the first lifetime she was a female, the second lifetime she was male and in India, and she had a compound. And her compound was for those who could not function within society. And it wasn't a jail. It was a place where people who had diseases that made them people that other people avoided or shunned. It was people who were mentally ill. She had a compound where she cared for these people. And it was almost like she was way out in the, I don't think they have boondocks in India, but you know what I mean when I say boondocks. She was far away from civilized whatever, and when people became unable to function within their reality, they were taken and she cared for them, and actually it was a place where there were even donations from towns and stuff like that around her that she was given enough support as far as food and clothing and stuff like that, so that she maintained this center for decades and decades and decades. And when she did pass away, it had to close down because no one else would take it over. But it was a sense here of caring for people that no one wanted. And I do feel that this lifetime, Jeannie has some of that aspect to her character. She is constantly for the underdog and always will defend people that nobody else wants to have around. And she's done this, I guess, all of her life. Jeannie, can you relate to that?
Yeah, that explains a lot. A whole lot. Can you list a name? The list of the names is, in this lifetime, I can think of several that belong there.
Well, you know, they may have been people that you drew into your life this lifetime because you cared for them in that past lifetime, too.
Well, there are several of them, and you know them.
But I never
but
put
thank
you in.
I find that fascinating.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. Okay, we will move on. Let me see here. We have Vivitar. Hi, Vivitar. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing really, really well. So I'm going to turn you over to Mary. She'll give you a past life, and then I'll give you a past life as well. Mary?
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Vivitar. Hi. It's always an honor to speak to you. And I pick up that you have been a dancer in many lives. From every continent, you must love and enjoy music.
I do.
Okay, because believe me, I am seeing you from every single, and this is really weird, okay? Do you hate the cold?
I don't hate it, but I don't really like it. I prefer warm weather.
Okay, because I'm seeing you in when they had the Alaskan Gold Rush, and I'm seeing you as being someone who worked in a saloon and always were singing and dancing, and you owned a saloon or were partners in it. And one night, due to two men, because you were definitely a woman who absolutely had a lot of admirers, and this other woman who was your friend got in a fight with a gentleman caller that you were not really happy about, and they were, the woman who was your friend shot at him and hit you first. So you were killed, and you never got to finish this successful life with running a business and staying warm. And I feel like you never had an opportunity to, in that life, to express your words or your thoughts or the emotions. And I think that sometimes you brought that into this life with you. So they told me that the cold is really interesting to you because it sometimes brings back, do you have arthritis?
No, I don't have arthritis, but I have sometimes my knees, you know, are stiff, and I in one knee I have inflammation in one of the knees.
And does the cold weather bother it?
No, not really. It'll bother me no matter what the weather is.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, it is all around, and I want you to think about this, but I do see you being stopped from expressing yourself and saying everything you want by someone who was jealous.
That's interesting.
So it does have a lot to do with the cold weather.
Did she mean to shoot me, or did she mean to shoot him?
No, she did not mean to shoot you.
Oh, okay.
She was mad at the man because he was in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
No, she was just a bad shot. But
oh, okay.
Okay, but I think that's really fascinating. But it cut out your voice before you had a chance to finish all that you wanted to do in this life, in that life. So Barbara, your turn.
Okay. I'm finding it fascinating here because you've been a stonemason in a number of lifetimes. I want to take you back to ancient Rome. I want to take you back to the building of Solomon's Temple. It feels here as though you were one of the stonemasons. You were very talented, and you had an understanding for stone and an absolute gift for creating foundations that would stand till the end of time. And basically, that's what people thought of you. You were magical. You had strength. You had wisdom. You had magic, a certain kind of magic to you when it came to working with stone. And it feels as though people were jealous of you because of your gifts, because of your talents, because of your ability to create foundations that could not be destroyed by simple earthquakes or whatever. And so this lifetime, I feel that you work on foundational material, not only within your own life, but with the people around you. That lifetime during the time of Solomon's Temple will give you a fascination for the magic of Solomon and a lot of the material, the historical or the mythical material that goes along with it. If I take you even further back in time, I see you building. You worked on the Great Wall of China. You were one of the people who worked on the construction of it. And when you couldn't find stone, you made mud bricks, but you preferred to work with stone. And so that, you know, when they didn't have stone material for whatever region they were going through, you were sent ahead to find a place where you could find the stone, that you could create the kind of structure that could not be overrun by the hordes or destroyed by time and weather. And I want to take you back even further in time, because it feels to me as though you worked on Egyptian pyramids, but not so much what we see now, but that which is still hidden in time, and the sands have not let go their mystery, so to speak. So you've worked with sandstone as well, and the talents and the gifts that you bring forward to this lifetime deal with creating foundations, and you are a very slow, meticulous person when it comes to foundations for relationships and friendships. You build them with great caution and with great care. You have a lot of acquaintances. You have a few spectacular friends that would go to the ends of the earth for you. And it is a reflection of these past lifetimes where you've worked with stone and created foundations. You are very focused on creating foundations for everything that you do. And I think that translates not only into friendships and relationships, but the element of the word foundation has something to do with directions that you're headed, and it feels like working with foundations of any sort will bring out a lot of the talents that you've learned from past lifetimes and enable you to have greater control and greater sense of understanding of what goes into making something work or stand the test of time. I keep hearing stand the test of time. So I do feel that you are attracting to your life, this lifetime, other people that worked with you in creating foundations, because you are the kind of person that will create a foundation for something to be built upon even after your time. So sometimes you worry about whether or not what you're doing makes any sense, or if you will leave a mark on society and the world as we know it, and the answer is absolutely, absolutely. Okay?
I have a couple of questions about what you said.
Sure.
Okay, so back in the time of ancient Egypt, I can really relate to that because, you know, with my gifts opening up, sometime I teleport to different places. And so this one time I teleported to the ancient script, you know, on the walls in Egypt. And I just kind of scanned it. But recently, I think I unlocked some of that information recently, and I wanted to know if you can tap in on that.
I would say that you have. I would say that you saw hieroglyphs that you couldn't interpret, but if you ask for the interpretation, it will come to you. I feel that there's a story here that may have to do with that past life that you can certainly pull through in dream state. So I would continue to work on it, because it feels like there is material there that would be very, very beneficial to you.
Okay, and with the stones, I don't know if that's related to crystals, because in this life I have a very, very strong connection not only with the crystals in the earth, you know, as far as crystalline grids, but just crystals. I have all kinds of crystals. but I haven't really learned how to actually use them yet.
Well, sure, go ahead, jump, Mary.
Because when I saw you as in the gold rush time, you mm-hmm. loved jewelry and you enjoyed having the jewelry always around you. And mm-hmm. I think that one of the things that were so hard on you when you were killed in this time was that you were building a foundation for this business that never got off the ground fully because the woman killed you, be it a mm-hmm. mistake or whatever. And I feel like this is something that irritates you right now not to finish something.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
Yeah,
I normally
carry things through. It might take me a while, but I'll get it done.
Yes, well, yes.
And, you know, a lot of the stone, especially a lot of the stones that you worked with were granite, and granite has a great deal of quartz in it, and quartz, of course, is a crystal. So, yeah, I would say that it all flows right in. And you know, it's easier to carry crystals around with you than a granite block on your back. So,
yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
A lot lighter.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take care now.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay. All righty. We've got Anna here. Hi, Anna.
Hello. How are you?
We're well. Thank you, Mary. This is Anna.
Yeah. Hi, Anna. Hi.
Hi. Hello.
Anna, in this life, do you have a lot of paperwork in front of you?
Yes, my work that I do.
Yeah, because I actually see you in France before the World War I, and the paperwork you brought with you because you like things organized, but I feel like you were a male and were working very, very hard. You have a sharp ear, and it's like, okay, you, and I feel like your intuition is developing, and I feel like you were working in France before the war. You were suspicious of Germany, and I feel like in this lifetime, you need to be reminded that if you have strong feelings, it is good that you prepare someone or you tell them or give them a heads up, whether they listen to you at the moment or not. But I feel like all the paperwork that's in front of you is indicative of many lives where you have taken care of people and tried to educate them and bring the very best out around them.
Yes.
Yeah, you're very, very caring.
So, yep, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So, and in that life, you actually had a long life. So, but in the war, you were actually blinded in one eye. So you really, really have had some difficulty in seeing things the way they are, but I want to encourage you in this life to gently express your beliefs and what you think is coming. I think you're very good at it, better than you give yourself credit.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Barbara.
Okay, I'm seeing a couple of lifetimes here, and in many lifetimes you have begun as a slave, being from childhood. You were in some cases captured in childhood in wars, and then sold to owners in different countries and stuff like that. I wanna focus in on one in Russia. It feels as though you were sold into slavery by parents, by your mother, because she could not feed you. And you had two brothers, and because you couldn't work or you couldn't tend the farm or whatever, she sold you into slavery so that in hopes that you would be treated well and you would have a better life. It wasn't because she needed the money. She truly wanted you to have a better life. And I do feel that you were sold a number of times, but the last time in that lifetime that you were sold, you were in the household of a man who was a philosopher, and you were probably 13 by the time he became your owner, and he taught you how to read and he taught you how to write, and he educated you and at a time and in a place where women were not educated and they were not in any way of any value other than for breeding or for marriage to accumulate lands or stuff like that. And he raised you and he did not sell you again. He also, because you did not want to be married, he didn't force marriage on you or anything like that. At his death, you were literally given his estate and you were freed. And he made it possible for you to not only live a good, rich life, but to care for your brothers who came to find you when they were able to after your mother had passed away. There's another lifetime here that I want to go into, and this takes us into France. And again, you were captured in a war, and I'm going back like 1,500, 2,000 years. You were captured in a war. Your mother followed the army when they went to war, and not only was your father killed during the war, but your mother as well, and you were just picked up as a somebody who could serve food, basically. And in that particular lifetime, again, you were so compassionate and kind and not angry. You were just grateful that you were being fed, that actually you became a part of the household that you were sold into, and though they had never done it before, they treated you almost like their own child. And so when you were old enough to marry, they gave you your freedom and they allowed you to pick a person to marry. I mean, you had offers and they let you select the one that you wanted to. You were actually in a time frame where it was unheard of. You married for love, and it was someone who cherished you and literally made life a magical experience for you. So this lifetime, I would say up to a certain point in time, you have felt a prisoner within your own life. And I do feel at this moment in time that you are setting yourself even freer than you were before. And it feels to me as though the clouds are parting for you and that you are coming into a time where you are pulling back your own power and allowing yourself to become the person that has been hiding inside of you in prison for a very long time. I feel that you're allowing yourself to evolve and to flower and to move into a new way of living your life. So are you changing your life at this point in time? Because that's what it feels like.
Yes, I've gone through a lot of change. just relocated. I'm exiting a relationship that I know not healthy for me. And yeah, a lot of change for the good. And like you said, I feel like I'm finally stepping into my own power, my own self. so that makes complete sense.
And you know, please understand that in both these lifetimes and probably in others, even though you were confined and a slave early in life, you found your power and you had an amazing lifetime after you embraced your freedom.
Okay.
So that I know from what I can see here that there were tough times for you. And you've had difficult times, and you have been, I don't want to say you have not been appreciated, I guess is the best way to put it. And so now you're coming into a time where people are going to appreciate you because you perceive yourself in a better light within yourself. Does that make sense?
Yes, I've been doing a lot of work on that, and I can see the changes.
I really want to confirm and applaud the work that you have done on yourself, because it's not easy digging inside and fixing things and making things better. And you have done, and you're going to continue. You know, you've gotten this far, and it's great. It's going to be even greater the further you go. So there's absolutely no limit to what you can achieve, and it feels to me as though there's no anger in you, which I think is magical. And even though you've been through difficult times, it feels you have dealt with the anger, and now you're just, there's an excitement about going forward.
Yes, that was very accurate. Thank you so much. I needed that. Thank you.
You have done an amazing, amazing job. So keep up the good work.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay, Mary. One more, Mary, or are you done?
Mary? Two more? Yeah, I'm here.
Two more. Yeah, we got two more, at least.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. This is Adeline?
Yes.
Okay. Mary, this is Adeline.
Hello, Adeline. That's a beautiful name.
Thank you. Hello.
yes. Okay. I don't know if you feel like you are often, for such a beautiful name and such a beautiful spirit, do you sometimes feel like you are bogged down?
Yes.
Okay, because the first thing I see is that you are in the trenches. You have boots on, so to me you are in the service because the boots are modern and you are a male, but this was a lifetime where you were constricted into the service. And it was almost as if you were forced to, and I don't know if it was, yeah, you were told to dig, and you dug, and you dug with 100 other people, and it is a lot of, it's almost as if you were Japanese or Chinese, and you were told to dig for the rice paddies, because I'm seeing water all over you.
Wow.
And it's like you're bogging your way through this life, because it's a memory that all things pass. And I want to remind you of that, because when you remember and give yourself credit, you have a beautiful spirit. And I want to commend you, like Barbara just did, also on your ability to get through things. So this life should be a memory that you are not bogged down, but you support people. When you are around people, Adeline, you really do your best to support people, and that's wonderful.
That's true, I do.
Okay, because you're somebody who goes up and pats their hand, and, you know, you may not literally do that, but you really try to give people the very best that you have.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Thank you.
And also, I'm laughing because I was in the military. I just retired about a year ago. I was in digging trenches.
No wonder
I'm
seeing Army boots.
One time. Yep.
Well, take those boots off and relax, girl.
Oh, I am, believe me.
Yeah, I know, that's wonderful. You have a lovely spirit.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Barbara, isn't that funny? That's
definitely.
Okay.
My
turn? Yes, darling, it is.
Okie dokie. This is going to sound a little weird. But I have two lifetimes here where you were conjoined twins.
Oh.
And I want to take you, that's two people, but with one spirit, with one soul, with one, an interesting thing. It doesn't happen often, but apparently the reason I'm getting these two, well, I'll give you the lifetimes, and I'll explain why.
Okay.
I want to take you into Japan. I want to take you back 4,000 years. You were conjoined twins. You were conjoined at the hip, and of course, they didn't separate them then, but you lived. You were of noble birth, and what's fascinating is, you were able. You lived a very long, comfortable lifetime, but half of you was gifted in philosophy and was. And read a lot and was very into digging into the understanding of the cosmos and actually into astrology to a great deal, but it wasn't astrology there, it was astronomy. The other side of you was musically inclined and just loved to sing, loved to play instruments, loved to make music. It was the musical, artistic aspect of you that was in this the second half of you, and because you were conjoined twins, you did not marry, but you were cherished by the nobility because you were of the nobility, so they took care of you, and it was magical because often the philosopher of you just wanted to tell the musical part of you to shut up because. Couldn't take all the deep thought, and the musical part of you was so bored with the philosopher that you would sing or play louder just to shut up that part of you. You argued with different sides of yourself. This was a lifetime in which the spirit was in two bodies, but it was one spirit. And
wow.
And so it was a time in which you had to come to terms with gifts and aspects of yourself that sometimes made you uncomfortable, and so it was a lifetime in which you mingled in the greatest of circles. You were carried around mostly by slaves, and you did not share hearts. But yet, when one of you died, the other one passed within hours because there was a closeness there. You loved each other as siblings, but. There was a part of you that couldn't pull yourself together into a whole person. Now, if I take you back even further, I want to take you into. I want to take you into. I'm terrible on geography here. I think it's Sweden. Looks like Sweden. We'll call it Sweden. It's one of the Nordic countries. I'm pretty sure it's Sweden. In this lifetime, you were conjoined twins. But in this lifetime, you were male. And this goes way, way back. And this is a time here where both of you were interested in combat and war, and war games and politics. And again, you were. I wouldn't say you were nobility, but I would say you were well born, and you became of interest to the ruler of the particular area you were in, and he brought you into what was then court, and he found that not only were you brilliant in all sorts of military type stuff. But I'm not sure if the game of chess had been invented, but there was a game similar to chess, and you loved playing yourself because while there was a telepathic connection, you were able to play yourself in a game of like chess. I don't think it was chess, but it was like chess, and it was very frustrating because you were very evenly matched with yourself. You were consulted when it came time to for the noble or the king to go to war. You were a politician the two of you were able to understand all sorts of political stuff that was going on. You became advisors and you were treasured until the end of your days. You were magical. This all comes forward to this time frame. And I feel this is one of the first times that your spirit has come in a singular body. And there are many times that you feel as though you are two different people, that there are two parts of you. And sometimes they don't fit together as well as you would like them to. You have many directions you want to go in, and some of them just don't seem to fit together, and yet I have to tell you that they all actually do. This time you have come into a lifetime with both parts of yourself synchronistically joined, and so that there is great maturity and wisdom and insight and philosophy inside of you. And I do believe that in the future you're going to find that there is stuff that you have to write, that you have to put down. You're going to find talents and gifts that will begin to emerge as you get older. Almost every decade there will be a new talent that comes forward that you can incorporate into whatever it is you're doing. You have a tremendous amount of material that is available to you, and I do believe that in many ways you're torn in different directions because there's so much that you want to be involved in, and I'm probably, I would be willing to bet that you've said to yourself, if I was two people, this would be much easier.
Yes. That is so true. That
cool
is
time.
So true. Yeah. That's interesting because I have an older sister, a half-sister, and my father, before he passed, had told her that the two of us were twins. And she told me, and I never really believed it, but then I would see that she had the same tastes and thoughts and style like me.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me wonder. But I always felt that in a past life, I had to be a man because I liked men things. You know, I like cars, I like tools, carpentry, you know, things like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow,
you're a cool
that's
lady.
Pretty amazing. Thank you.
Thank you for
amazing.
Calling.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, one more, Mary?
Yeah, that was amazing, Barbara. Brilliant.
Cool stuff. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
She brought it. Okay,
yeah.
We've got Darla.
I thought it was Darla. Amazing we both picked her up as a male.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've got Darlene here. Darlene?
Hello,
here.
Ladies.
Hi.
Hello, Darlene. Wow.
How are you this evening?
Oh, Darlene, do you sing?
Not professionally, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, your voice is marvelous.
Thank
okay?
you.
I mean, this is our night for people having song in many, many lives. And here's very, very interesting. It does not matter whether you enjoy opera now, but I know that you were in opera in Russia. Now, this was, of course, way back, but I'm seeing you as a beautiful soprano with long, very long dark hair, and I can hear the voice. It's absolutely beautiful. And you really had quite a bit. You were, I don't know if it was actually opera, because I don't know the culture of Russia, but you were on stage. So,
wow.
In your life now, do you feel that you influence people when you put on your best face forward?
Yes, daily.
Okay. Please continue with that, because you kind of mesmerize, whether you realize it or not, and your voice is very, very attractive. So you, I think that you have used this to write. I think you have used it to influence, and I think that you use it to calm people, be it children or be it adults. And you have seniors around you. I don't know if you're caring for someone in this life who is older, but you definitely have a very kind heart. And I think it is because you understand what it's like not to have something, and you want to do your best to bring it and share it.
Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome. Do not forget you are blessed because you have stars above your head.
Thank you.
So you have a bright future still ahead of you. But I want you to realize that I am seeing you as someone who was noticed on the stage in probably several lifetimes, both in every single category for expression. And also, here's where they're showing me now, is that I feel like you like the magical part of entertaining. And I don't know if you love to get the best of people, and I mean that in a nice way, because to make people laugh and to entertain them is very important, or if you just love magic in this life. But it is around you, and when you make people laugh and stop and think, that's your divine purpose in this life. Okay?
Thank you. It makes a lot of sense.
Good.
Okay, well,
good.
Well, I am
okay, now let's
tickled.
Hear what Barbara has to say.
I am so tickled that you said the word magic, because you have been a magician in past lifetimes. And I want to take you back 2,500 years. You were a magician. They called you a magician. Actually, it was in that time frame that you weren't as much of a magician as you were an astronomer. And so the stars really had a great deal to do with your study, with your life, with your focus, with getting information from the stars. You are so connected to the stars. It is unbelievable. You were in Persia 2,500 years ago. You were someone who was when they say you had a calling, I mean, this particular lifetime, you just knew it from a very young age that the stars were going to lead you to your destiny. And I'm talking about an 8-year-old boy who actually ran away from home and found where these people were studying the stars, and you apprenticed yourself, you served food, you learned from them, you sat at their feet, you listened to them, you were constantly looking at the night sky, and there was a fascination with the stars that was just so profound, it was unbelievable. You were drawn to them. It was like you belonged in them. And what we now call Orion's Belt is something that fascinated you. You felt at that particular time that there was magic connected to it, and you didn't know how to access it or utilize it. You studied, you learned, you drew wisdom from it, but you always felt as though you belonged in the stars as opposed to studying them. And that was a lifetime where you were constantly reaching for the wisdom and a way to find a way to get into the stars, to be a star, not to be a star on the stage, but to be connected to the stars more deeply and intuitively than ever before. And when you died, part of what flashed through your mind was, I'm going to finally be in the stars. I'm going to join my family in the stars. In some strange way, I feel that there is, you know, pardon me if I offend you, some extraterrestrial blood or genes within you that particular lifetime knew that they were not terrestrial, that part of you was not terrestrial, that you had a family in the stars, and that there was a feeling that you needed to return to them. And I believe we all have extraterrestrial blood or DNA. It's just that it's not active. But in that particular lifetime, it certainly was active with you, because you were so drawn to the stars that it was almost like you wanted to go home, and that's where home was. If I bring you, if I take you even further back in time, I want to take you back to South America, Peru, Chile, in that area. It feels as though, again, you were one of those that studied the stars to find to bring answers for the nobility. You studied this in this particular lifetime. You were female, and you studied the stars in order to give answers to the questions of the nobility. You know, when to make war, when to plant crops, when to kill prisoners, the whole thing. You found that there was a rhythm in the stars. You found that there were messages there, and that you felt that you were linked to them intuitively and were able to get insight and wisdom and pass that on to the rulers or whoever were asking questions. And it wasn't always about going to war or planting crops. It was other mundane questions, but you were always able to focus on the stars and be able to predict changes in the environment, and you did an amazing job. And at this particular lifetime, you were able to explain comets and meteors and things like that, so that you did rise to a position of honor. And again, you were always looking to further your understanding of the stars and the messages that they had to bring us, because you knew there was an intuitive connection. You just couldn't explain it. It was just a knowingness that you carried with you through time. Now, I think this lifetime there is a fascination with the stars as well. Are you at all interested in astrology and astronomy?
I'm interested in the point that where it relates to me, but I think it's a little complicated for astrology. I listen to Melissa, the heavy metal psychic, and I'm amazed at her and many others who do astrology. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a little bit, it's very complicated. And
it is. It's terribly complicated. I think that I can see you, though, using it with someone that you trust. To give you guidance and insight. I would also suggest, because of the first lifetime I gave you, that you have, and certainly not active at this moment in time, but there is a part of you that would be able to get information intuitively. If you decided to try to not work with the mathematics of it, because that's, forget that.
Mm-hmm.
But it does feel as though the stars and connecting with the stars would open you to greater wisdom that you have carried inside of you. So when it's better weather out, you know, I would spend time outside and I would do some stargazing, because I think inspiration and insight will come from that will amaze you.
Oh, I do a lot of that. My bedroom window looks out into the open sky, so, yeah.
Yeah, there's a definite connection there. Okay?
Thank you very much, ladies.
You're very
Thank
welcome.
You.
Good.
Thank
good
you.
Night
evening.
Now.
Good night.
Thank you.
Night.
Good night. Well,
Barbara,
Mary.
As usual, a lovely evening.
Yes, and we will be back in December. And we certainly invite all of you to return. We're going to be talking about our spiritual pathways, and if you think you're off, how you get back on.
Good,
and
that sounds interesting to me.
Yes, okay. It was your idea. thank you everybody for sharing our time with us tonight. We greatly appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you next time. So good night,
good
Mary,
night, everybody.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you, everybody. Good night, Jeannie. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.